Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers looks at Metcalf, slants, touchdown, Steelers. From the 16 to Kraft, the tight end with blocking. Kraft inside the 5 to the end zone, touchdown. Tucker, Kraft. TJ screaming off the edge on third down. Love hit as he throws, up for grabs. Savion Williams has got it. Williams getting the blocking to the pylon. Savion in for the touchdown. So the rookie out of TCU who's used in so many different ways on this Packers team comes up with touchdown number one of his NFL career. Third and four. Wilson has played a quarter of this game for Jacobs, is the back right now. Pressure coming. He picked it up. Inside. Kraft's got it. At the 10. Kraft running away to the end zone. He has two touchdowns.
You know, I thought their tight end obviously was significant, man. His run after, we talked about it during the week. We didn't do a good enough job of minimizing that. And that probably was the catalyst of it. That field flipping play on third down, we laid the ball up to him. He made a catch and run, I thought was a significant component of the texture of the second half.
I think it can be one of the best there of all time.
Really?
And I'm putting that in there now, one of the best of all time. I mean, when you got, literally, we got pieces everywhere. Look at the roster, look at who we have. It's incredible.
Well, on this night, the story was the two quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers for the first and maybe only time facing the Green Bay Packers. But the story of the night was Jordan Love, 29 of 37, 360 yards, three touchdowns on a night when the man who was his mentor did not have the support and struggled. Love hit the big shots down the field, 35-25 when all is said and done. New Gen Packers.
You know, adversity a lot better, man. I think this game kind of eroded in the second half, and big plays were, you know, the death of us today. You're not going to be perfect out there, but you got to keep fighting. You know, I just think there's a lot of ball and, you know, not enough fight on our side.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? Mm. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
And that's what truly galls me, Bob Pompeiani, and I'll give an opening soliloquy, as will you, in a moment. How are you?
It's a beautiful day to be alive. We're up. We're kicking around.
Sun's shining. Limits is to our left.
Hi, Limits.
You're right, actually.
That was? Right, that's right. If I looked left, I would not see him.
When I heard that Cam quote last night, that's the first thing I thought of. Kirk Herbstreit saying, where is the fight? We're back in the same spot as we were just months ago.
And that's where we begin today, Bob, at 412-928-9370. And some of us said it at the time when these quotes came out in training camp. Juan Thornhill, we have a chance to be the best defense ever. Mike Tomlin, not shooting down that quote, only enhancing that quote. DK Metcalf, it's the best defense I've ever gone against of the Steelers and others in training camp. And the gall of anybody associated with that defense after the performance against the Ravens in the playoffs last year, the gall of them. And you just heard Kirk Herbstreit talking about that last clip was him while they were laying down against the Ravens in the playoff game. And Bob, that is where I begin today, is it's almost like rather than stoking anger, it's almost a sense of sadness watching this Steeler defense embarrass their Steeler forefathers yet again, some of the great defenses of the Steeler past. And how dare they, at any point, until they actually do something in a big game, say that they could be one of the best defenses in history. We sit here today looking at one of the worst blown leads in the fourth quarter of the past 30 years of Steeler football, leading by 10 going into the fourth quarter. We sit here today having watched the stadium be commandeered by Packers fans. Aaron Rodgers said, I hadn't had to go to a silent count at home in a long time. That's what Steelers fans do to other cities when their team hits the road. We sit here today talking about the highest paid defense in the sport coming up short again. And just look at the atrocities that this defense has committed over the past many years. That's the thing that I have to laugh at as I watch all these shows, national shows today. Wow, these are the Steelers? They're usually not like this. Somebody needs to tell them, Rex Ryan and company, that this defense with this sort of main cast anyway, set an NFL record by allowing at least 40 straight points in three straight playoff games. Somebody needs to tell them they haven't even played respectable in a playoff game in nearly a decade. Somebody should tell them that the Steelers last year gave up a 10.5-minute drive to end a game in Philly and then gave up 299 yards rushing to the Ravens in a playoff loss. And then this season have come out and given up at least 30 points four times. You saw what Flacco did to them. And with Jordan Love, it was worse. They're getting beat by one guy every week. They have no answers coaching-wise. They have no answers secondary-wise. They have no answers pass rush-wise. They've allowed almost 70 points and 1,000 yards in the last two games to Joe Flacco and Jordan Love. And we sit here with Mike Tomlin at, what, $19 million a year? T.J. Watt at $41 million. Jalen Ramsey's on an $85 million contract. Alex Highsmith's on a $70 million contract. Patrick Queen's on a $41 million contract. First-round picks all over the place. And everybody around the country is just laughing at them. Just laughing at them. Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL Network, that's an all-name, no-game defense. Alex Smith on ESPN, I think the Steelers think they're a man team in the secondary. Like, they can play people man-to-man. And then everybody on the set laughs. And, of course, Cam, who you heard from, give me more and more and more and more every year. And this is what we get. That quote from Herbstreit about where is the fight on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then seven games into this season, Cam Hayward saying, I just think there's not enough fight on our side. What an embarrassment that defense is. What an abject embarrassment. Bob?
Lee Flowers once said, paper champs, when talking about, I believe it was Tampa Bay. At this point, that's what the Steelers are on defense. They're paper champs. When you hear quotes from Juan Thornhill at the beginning of this season, and Mike Tomlin also
when you use words like that, they're going to come back to get you. They're paper champs. That's the only way I can describe it, because they have names that everyone recognizes. But as we've seen in sports, that doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to team chemistry in terms of your production on defense. There are teams around the NFL, the New England Patriots play a really good brand of defense, and they don't have many big names. Kansas City's defense, minus Chris Jones, for the most part, is a bunch of guys most people won't recognize, but they play a team game. They're schemed up, and that's something we have not seen. If anything, they're getting schemed against, and they're having little to do with pushback. And when you hear comments like that about the fight, man, I go back to the second game of the year. Seattle comes in here. That's when they didn't have fight. At the end of the game, a third and goal from the 20 or 19-yard line, Kenneth Walker goes untouched. Never before had that happened. There's a lot of stuff historically that are happening right now, but they're all the wrong sort of history. It's been historically bad in many ways. And so now the question is, what do you do to change it? Because you're not going to add personnel. I don't think so. And if you do, who can it be? It's about scheme. It's about how you allow teams. Last week it was Jamar Chase, 23 targets, 16 catches. This week it's Tucker Kraft. He was targeted because they identified that weakness, and that weakness has been there for many years for the Steelers. They haven't been able to shut down tight ends. Big guys, and then there's yak yards involved. Missed tackles, Darius Slay missed tackles, ended up sometime on the bench holding his helmet. They put a lot of money into big names. Again, it comes back to names. Paper, Champs, Slay, Ramsey, Watt, Hayward, they're all very individually good, but collectively they're not getting it done. So if they're not getting it done, then it must be scheme. And that's where they are right now. And next week you got the highest scoring offense in the NFL, man, coming in here with a running back who is ripping up everything. And, you know, eventually as that game went on, Wilson, the running back out of Green Bay, got better. And they kept going to it, and it opened up so many other things. Jordan Love, all you have to do is say 20 straight completions. Come on. At home on a Sunday night when they're supposed to be at their best at that point, coming off a performance like Cincinnati, it's really just inexcusable.
Well said. 412-928-9370 off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. And you brought up scheme. And I'm going to put a lot of blame on the players. I am. But I would have put a lot of blame on the offense a few years back when they fired Matt Canada. Now, there's a caveat here. This is Mike Tomlin's defense. Everybody knows that. And we also all know, everybody in this football town knows, that Terrell Austin is a figurehead. Having said that, this is just as bad as the offense was when they fired Matt Canada. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's worse because of the money that they're paying to that defense. So Terrell Austin should be fired today, period. And I hate to say that because he seems like a good guy, and he's had a pretty good career as an assistant coach. But if you're going to fire Matt Canada for the rampant and repeated incompetence of your offense, then Terrell Austin has to go today. No?
Well, if you look back to Matt Canada, it took a long time before it actually happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if he was doing anything magically good. There were a lot of calls for his ouster before it ever happened, and I think it's going to take a lot more for that to happen before Terrell Austin is.
Why?
Just because that's how they do business. I don't
know. I mean,
why.
Hasn't it?
Chris Collinsworth
said
something. How
long has Austin been here?
Chris Collinsworth said something very interesting during the game. He said, the number one thing a coach must do is hire a good coaching staff. And that's true, because you're only as good as the guys around you in terms of their individual units that they coach up. You have to have guys who have been around, who've done some things. And this coaching staff has too many who've been on the staff for a long time. And there are some really good guys and good coaches. I'll never criticize coaches. When you get to that level, there's something good you're doing. But there also is time for change. I mean, we've seen it in so many different instances, even here in Pittsburgh with Mike Sullivan. There's a time. So bottom line is, I don't know how you change it. They got two games coming up against two of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. What do you do differently at this point? Because you still have the same people.
They've tried it both ways. They've tried, and Tomlin talked about it apparently with Tony Dungy. They held back against
too conservative.
Yeah, they held back against Flacco, and Tony Dungy said he talked to Tomlin yesterday morning by phone, and Tomlin said, "Yeah, I've been holding him back. It's time to turn him loose." So they did that yesterday, blitzed Jordan Love like crazy, and he tore them to pieces. Because they can't cover anybody on the back end, and they didn't get there with their pressure. That's a bad combination. I almost want to blame the pass rushers, since they're making all the money, more than the secondary. I mean, if you can't get to the quarterback when you're allocating those kinds of resources to getting to him, like 5, 4, 5, 6 guys, it's pretty unrealistic to expect them to cover. However, it's also true that the secondary stinks. But back to Austin, Bob. They fired Canada, I believe, 8 games into a season after some horrible years. That seems to pretty much be the same story with Austin. Why keep him? And I realize that probably won't solve anything. Probably not. What they should have done is kept Brian Flores in the building and had Mike Tomlin give Flores total control of their defense, but that didn't happen. But Austin has to go today.
Well, I don't think you're going to see that happen. If you think that's going to happen, then...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate, with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't. I think it should.
Well, you might be absolutely right with that based on how things go. But at the same time, they're in a situation now where you're paying all these guys to get to the quarterback. And to expand on your point, yesterday we saw something the Steelers should have noticed, and they saw it last week as well. When you have a good pass rusher, if you move that guy around a little bit, Micah Parsons was moving all over. In fact, the one thing they didn't seem to account for was him right over Rodgers, straight on, and he came from different angles. They moved him around. That only helps guys like Rashawn Gary and others on their defensive line. T.J. Watt is in the same position almost every single play, and I still think that's easier to try to combat. You can chip over there more. Guys get chipped all
Although
the time.
Although Herbig coming up the middle was working very well.
It was. That's what I'm saying. You got to do something different in that case. If you're not going to have changes personnel-wise, then you have to do something schematically that goes against everything you've done. Show something different.
Where has Alex Highsmith been? Does anybody know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Although I'll put T.J. Watt atop the list. He has 4 sacks in his last 11 games going back to last season. It's just not happening. I think it was Rex Ryan today calling them in a lot of areas on defense. They look old and slow, and they do.
They do. And they knew that going into this, though. But they were shooting for 1 year of having these guys again. Slay and Ramsey have not been anything like what I thought they might be. When it started, yes, I thought there was some potential there. The longer the season goes on, I think you're going to see more wear and tear.
I mean, at least Ramsey makes some plays.
He does, but not enough. Not for what he's paid and not for what he should be doing.
When they fired Matt Canada, the Steelers were 31st in passing offense. Guess where they are in passing defense, Bob?
Similar, if not exact.
No, worse.
Worse?
32nd, and you can't get in. That'd be good in a 100-team league. It's not good in a 32-team league. They stink defensively. Are they going to do anything about it? Are they going to do anything about it?
Well,
it sure
to your point from last
like
week,
it.
Double down on the offense if this is how you have to go.
You have
if you're, to. If you're going to become the Cincinnati Bengals in order to win games, if you're going to become the Dallas Cowboys, the way they play. The only chance they have, because their defense is bad too, as is Cincinnati's, is to score more points.
Funny you
but
should mention that.
But then you run
that.
Into Denver,
right?
They'll shut you down, and they score a lot of points, too. So
funny you should mention that, because the only two teams worse in the rankings overall defensively right now are Cincinnati and Dallas. For a defense, the Steelers promised was going to be historically good. Something has to happen, right? And I realize that that firing Terrell Austin would be a cosmetic change. That has to happen. You can't have this with the highest paid defense in football. It's a massive embarrassment. You know what? Even if they come out and play great against the Colts, nobody's going to trust them anyway. It'll be like, finally, now let's see them do it one more time. You know what I mean?
I think we went down that road with the games in Dublin and also the following one with Cleveland, albeit, you know, backup quarterbacks. When you're facing these kinds of quarterbacks the way they have, even Flacco, I'll put him in that, even though he's technically a backup or whatever he is, he still had that resume you knew can tear you apart if you allowed it. Now you get to Jordan Love, who's really coming into his own as one of the elite guys in the game if he wasn't there already. And then you have Jones coming up, who's, I think, number one in just about every offensive category, or at least near the top. And then you have Herbert, who I may think is the best quarterback they're going to face maybe all year in terms of what he can do. You know,
maybe Lamar twice still down the road. Maybe Flacco, Jared Goff, Josh Allen.
These are all, and last year they got a little bit of a break that they missed some of these guys. And even this year, to some degree, they missed some of those elite guys.
Meanwhile, Green Bay on the other side, and I think it was Alex Smith on ESPN who really pointed this out quite clearly. Green Bay was rushing four people. So it becomes a matter of simple mathematics. Is that when you're rushing four, and by the way, they were beating five. It was four against five sometimes, and they would win that battle. Then you have tons of guys in coverage. It's just simple math. When you're blitzing like crazy, turning them loose like the Steelers did, then you don't have guys in coverage, except the guys you do have in coverage are named Brandon Echols and Darius Slay and, oh my God, Chuck Clark. And Patrick Queen and people just getting roasted everywhere you looked. And Deshaun Elliott, who I feel horrible for because
was a terrible look.
Gives his heart and soul to the team. But before he got hurt, I mean, coverage is not his game. Hitting people is. And on that play, he didn't even see the ball, it looked like. I don't know. Was there a push off? Maybe. I don't know. But that's not his game. And Jordan Love made a smart move. And the Steelers got caught with Deshaun Elliott one-on-one with a great tight end. One-on-one.
And Elliott seemed to lose his bearings where he was. He wasn't sure where that ball was. And Love made a great play to get it off. I questioned when he threw it. I said, oh, that's going to be picked.
It looked like it, yeah. But in the end, it was a great throw.
Forget who made the reception down at the goal line. When
Watson.
Thornhill, yeah, Christian Watson. When Thornhill went up, it's almost like he was waiting for a rebound on a basketball court, and he mistimed his jump.
He looked like a little league outfielder. Waiting on a fly ball completely whiffing. Just, it's horrifying to watch this team play pass defense. And then to see week after week, the other team's best player just break wide open. Like, how is somebody not up in Kraft's grill on every play? How, for instance, and Rodgers mentioned it after the game, you could easily make an argument that the throw to Kraft on the play Elliott got hurt turned the whole game around. You could make that argument, except after that, there was a fourth and one, which if the highest paid defense in football holds there, then the momentum's back on the Steelers' side. Instead, it's Tucker Kraft just walking off the line with nobody around him.
Wide open.
What is happening? And that happened probably 5 to 7 times in the game. He's just uncovered. Their biggest weapon is just uncovered, like Jamar Chase last week. In that instance on Flacco's game-winning drive, you're just not going to cover him. There's a breakdown, a miscommunication. It's just totally, totally inexcusable, especially given the money that they're spending on this defense, Bob.
And, you know, while they did a good job in Dublin matching up against Kevin O'Connell, who's a good offensive mind. They also had to deal with Zach Taylor. You can say what you want about their defense, which is terrible. He's a good offensive mind. He got that job because of it. So they're scheming against the Steelers' defense. And then you have what you had in this situation with LaFleur, who's LaFleur. Really good at that.
Yeah, that's a mismatch.
And then you have Shane Steichen coming in here. And then after that, I just think Herbert speaks for itself. I don't even know, you know, all their entire coaching staff out there. And then after that, it's Flacco again. You got all these guys who know how to scheme and make guys get open, then they have to now respond to this.
Yeah.
And that's going to, in the next few weeks, we're going to find out. Now, this division is still wide open and still terrible.
Oh, they might juncture. Still win because of the rampant incompetence right. around them in their own division, especially the Bengals after yesterday's debacle. Oh,
that had, if it didn't hurt enough when it happened, it had to really hurt after they watched last night. But the Ravens still have the best odds, which is back
I
in
saw
play.
That.
The
it's back to the Ravens.
Back to the Ravens. They're 2-5, and they still have the best odds to win the division.
Could 8-9 win the division, Bob? I asked
that
seriously.
We've seen that before over time. You know, teams that have sub-500 records, that could very well be.
So what's going to happen here? Anything? Mike Tomlin talked about changes in his secondary. What changes? I thought about promoting Brandon Echols last week.
How about
week.
Peppers? Should he play?
Maybe
he's
Peppers.
Around.
I guess. Yeah, I guess him.
He has a history of, you know, have some good years. Maybe he can do something with them.
Ramsey's
going to have
him.
To move to safety for now, right? What do they do without
I would have had Ramsey last night matchup. I don't know how it would have gone, but somebody in Kraft's grill on every play, like right at the line of scrimmage, bumping him and covering him. There's a concept.
I've said that all along. I don't understand why they don't try to disrupt routes, especially as that game went on, Joe. They started the dink and dunk stuff, too. They knew that they had open guys over there. That's part of the 20 straight completions.
Yeah.
Well, do something on top of them. Don't let them get that 5 yards easily. And maybe you'll come away with a play or two.
Feels like we say it every week, except it's not like overdoing it. I forget the word I'm looking for there, hyperbole. It's really not hyperbole. Is this defense that bragged it would become historic is making history in all the wrong ways virtually every week. Like last week, it was Ja'Marr Chase setting a Bengals record for catches in a game. Last night, according to Brooke Pryor, here's her tweet. This is the first time a Steelers lost a game by 10-plus points that it led entering the fourth quarter since 1996 at the Oilers, Bob. It's also the first time Pitt lost
Oilers.
A home game.
That's never good when you bring up the Oilers as part of your history.
No, or when you bring up Brett Favre as the last Green Bay quarterback to complete 20 straight passes. It's also the first time the Steelers lost a home game by 10-plus points that it led entering the fourth quarter. So they're leading by 10 or more entering the fourth quarter at home, and they lose. Anybody know when the last time that happened was? Limits?
I have it actually
Wrong.
Right in front of me. I just retweeted it.
What?
1985.
What? Wrong. 1985. Bob, can you believe that?
The way it's breaking apart, yes, I can believe it, because this is historically bad stuff that we're watching. So, yeah, you'd have to go back in history and find some examples of where
they are. I mean,
they're
literally making the wrong kinds of history every single week. It's mind-boggling to watch, and it can't continue. And if I'm Art today, I'm ordering the firing of the defensive coordinator, whether that matters or not, when everybody knows it's Mike Tomlin's defense. And if this keeps up, I'd order the firing of Tomlin after the season. Of course, I thought that should have happened after last season, when they bottomed out and basically laid down on defense in a playoff game against the Ravens. I thought that was a natural ending to this whole thing, but they stuck with it. I don't know what Art's thinking right now. He was sitting at that stadium last night watching his own quarterback on a silent count and watching this defense, whom they're paying, what, $180 million to, Bob? Do that?
It's one of them, if not the top. It's right there near the top.
Most and this head spent. Coach again gets shredded by one of the offensive-minded coaches in the league. And my God, what's Shane Steichen going to do? The last 2 years, each of the last 2 years, Steichen with, let me think now, who's the guy? Gardner Minshew with the mustache.
Flacco, yep.
Minshew, Flacco, and a little bit of Anthony Richardson put like 70 points and 800-some yards on the Steelers. What's he going to do with this offense against this defense, Bob?
And a better question is, what are the Steelers going to do against this offense? What
else
can
they
make?
Do? They've tried to hang back in zone and
you
rush
come
four.
Up with something
they've
different.
Tried to blitz. We all wanted them to blitz Flacco. He might have thrown for 1,000 yards if they blitzed him. I think what you have to do defensively, ultimately, You've got Cam Hayward. You've got a first-round pick in Harmon. You've got Benton. You've got Watt.
Those guys were
Highsmith.
Silent, too. Those guys
they're
the
all silent.
Line,
but you know what? You've dropped guys into coverage because you can't cover. And the guys that you're paying hundreds of millions, what is it combined with Watt and Highsmith? What are their combined totals of their contracts? $200
million? $185, something of that range.
You rush four, and you better get there. And if you don't, well, how can it be worse than this?
You got to win your battles. You know, those guys up front have got to win their battles, and they weren't doing a good enough job. The fact that Jordan Love did not get sacked, and I read your article. You had a good line about if they exchanged jerseys at the end of it, Rodgers would have got a very clean number 10 jersey.
He sure would have. No washing necessary,
Bob. No washing necessary because they didn't get him to the ground. But this is interesting here because Love, last night, 20 consecutive pass completions, 350-plus yards, 3-plus touchdowns, 0 turnovers, and 0 sacks. No other quarterback in NFL history has ever done that.
Wait a second.
That's
read me
bad.
That whole thing again. I need to hear that again.
Jordan Love completed 20-plus consecutive passes. He threw for 350-plus yards, 3-plus touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks.
Wow. Wow.
And that, now you're talking about history? If you're making that kind of history, that's the wrong kind of history you want to make.
Bob, what do you think was running through Art's mind watching that last night? Because that was, and again, I think even more than anger, it felt sad watching the Packer fans commandeer a stadium, watching the Steeler quarterback on a silent count, and for a franchise that built its legacy very literally on defense with the Steel Curtain and then the early 2000s defenses, to watch them get abjectly humiliated yet again on their home field, and yet, I say, what's going through his mind? Maybe he's thinking we're 4-3 and we lead the division and things are okay. I don't know because he rarely takes dramatic and decisive action. What do you think was running through his mind?
Well, all of that. He has to be thinking about all that stuff. And the 4-3, if it would have been 5-2, now you got a little bit more breathing room. Things look a little rosier. Regardless of how they played, but you know, 4-3 after 4-1, and the way it's fallen apart here with these games coming up, he's got to be not pleased at all. And I know that they try to win every year, and that's a good thing. I applaud teams that do it, and they try to spend money on these guys coming in. It's why they brought in these guys for 1 year, basically. But it doesn't seem as this season rolls on like those moves may pan out the way you thought. And I even thought if the game went on, Rodgers was looking a little older too, but that's because they were coming after him with Parsons and Gary and those guys up front, and they were getting to him when the Steelers
couldn't. He's got no weapons. Let's talk about that next on the other side of the ball.
Trade deadline's coming up November 4th. I'm going to
yes,
be very
sir.
Interested to see what happens.
Me too. And Chris Collinsworth got a lot wrong last night. He kept complimenting the Steelers' man-to-man defense, and in the first half, they did the first half was like a blueprint of how the Steelers want to play. But he kept saying it even after it fell apart. He completely cursed them by saying somebody left a wake-up call for the Steelers' defensive backs this morning. That was literally right before the Tucker Kraft play over to Sean Elliott, and then Love just went wild, wow, picking on every single one of them. But he did say something that was right on the mark in the second half about this Steeler offense.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, we're going to get to the phone lines doing a sad and angry populace any minute now. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. But first, and we'll get into this more later, a quick word about the offense. Collinsworth was wrong about a lot last night. But at one point he said, I think it's fairly obvious the Steelers need help at wide receiver. We've seen in the couple games where they've fallen way behind, they have no answers when they're way behind on the scoreboard, and they have no answer when they're way behind on the chains, as they were a lot last night. They need another receiver. They need somebody who can threaten secondaries on the boundary, down the field a little bit, a reliable route runner. It's glaringly obvious. Yes?
Yes. I felt that at the beginning of the season, which is why I wouldn't have traded George Pickens for a third round pick. I just wouldn't have. I know the downside.
I mean, Spencer Anderson is pretty good.
Spencer was one for one. He's batting 1,000, and quite frankly, that's a pretty good percentage.
It was a hell of a catch, and I'm glad he's involved in the offense, Bob, but I don't think he's the answer.
The other thing is, when you do that jumbo package, that's fine. It works. It does. But at the same time, it limits you so much in what you can do beyond the run. You can't do all that much because you're occupying guys.
I mean,
on
part
the line
of me
of
feels like they could have doubled down in these last two games, and I know they had a pretty good offensive game in Cincy. I actually like that jumbo package, and I wouldn't go away from it until teams show they can stop it. Actually,
well, but also it does limit you in what you can do down the field. You know, you're not going to have unless people bite so bad on that side of the field.
Sure, that's true. And what the Steelers completely lack, and what the Packers lead the NFL in. And the Colts have to be pretty darn close, is explosive plays. There's no explosion to their pass game unless it's a pass short and hope for a run long. And that was the old Randy Fichtner philosophy. And, you know, how often is that going to happen? How often is Jalen Warren going to turn a little dump pass into a miracle 65-yard play? And how often is DK Metcalf going to do what he did in Minnesota? It's not going to happen all that much. You need some downfield explosion in your pass game. Bob, maybe they can bring back John LeGlue and get him involved in the passing game.
LeGlue for two. He'd
you
be
like
great
that
on
idea,
two-point limits? Conversion.
LeGlue for two.
Maybe they could bring B.J. Finney back and he could be an extra guard.
Yes, have him be your boundary receiver.
Zach Banner is eligible.
Look how good Hank Fraley is on television now.
Bring him back, Bob. Listen, I like the Ben Skowronek story as much as the next person. Wonderful story. When he's on the field for 17% of your snaps, you're not doing it right. Sorry.
We're halfway there, Bellas.
It's actually 8 years and counting of complete darkness here defensively and to some degree offensively.
Two bad performances in prime time has led to two straight nights of complete darkness, Bob.
Apparently they're working out Valdez-Scantling today, Bob. Are you excited about that?
Former Rodgers go-to guy at times?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not. He's out of work for a reason, I imagine.
Yeah.
So that's not what you're talking about, I suspect, when you say you want a bigger name.
No, I want Jacoby Myers, but they're going to have a lot of and it's, by the way, now you have to start weighing what resources do you want to give up in a season where do you really think you have a chance to win a title? Like, is it worth going more all in? Now, Myers might only take a fourth or fifth round pick. So the other thing to think about is you've been gifted a chance this year, no matter how bad you are, because of the state of the AFC North.
You wouldn't have expected this. I know none of us would have expected this.
No.
With these teams being as bad as they are, and the record reveals itself. So you're right. We may be headed to an 8-9 division win. But at the same time, you can't pass up an opportunity. And I think the Steelers are going to have the mindset that we cannot pass up that. We need help. Defensively, I don't think there are many answers out there. You can't make a major shakeup right now and try to acquire a player.
Yeah, it's like you bring in a body, okay, for the secondary. All right. You're not bringing in anybody as a pass rusher. You're allocating tens of millions of dollars for people to do that. And they're not getting it done, and you refuse to play. What was the snap count on Herbig? Does anybody have
it
that?
Was, yeah, I saw
what
it.
What was the
it
snap was like, count on him? I've got it right here.
Something out of 64. It wasn't very much.
I know. I'm still hung up on Ben Skowronek playing 17% of the snaps on offense. What are we doing here, Bob? Herbig only played 33% of the snaps on defense. 33, and Highsmith played 73. What has Alex Highsmith done?
We haven't heard their names at all in terms of big-time so-called splash plays. We haven't heard them.
I'd have Herbig just switching positions between Watt and Highsmith, the two guys who are getting absolutely nothing done.
And also the middle linebackers, quite frankly, too. I mean, it's Patrick Queen almost got to him once, which forced that little duck throw to Kraft, but
he was late getting to Kraft on a couple plays. He's having a relapse.
Tackles, Joe. They're having all left sorts
and right.
Of,
yeah.
And these are guys who are supposed to be good about doing that, and they're missing too many tackles.
The evaluation. You know, I thought that Andy Weidel was going to come in and improve their pro evaluation, and that's not happening because they're making some really bad ones. Darius Slay would be a prime example for an organization that Weidel used to work for, I might add. Let's hit the phone lines, Limits.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with...
In fact, I just did add, Bob. Not I might add, I did add.
You did add.
Yeah.
Joe, let's start with Joe. He is in New York.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Kind of touching on what you guys were just talking about, getting help for this team. We've got 1,000 draft picks in next year's draft. Wouldn't it make sense to unload some of them for help now instead of doing a stupid trade next year in the draft where we trade two of our threes and a two to move up to, 1.2?
Well, what are you talking about, offense or defense here? What are you talking about acquiring?
I'm talking about getting help on the defense because that's where we're getting hammered. I think that offensively, yeah, we need a receiver, but I think with Roman Wilson starting to show some signs of life, I think I'd rather put the investment in the defense, trading some picks instead of, trading for Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed or bringing in Scantling, who's terrible.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but the question would be who's available here? And most teams that are playing right now have a lot of injuries to their secondary pass rushing guys. I don't know who would be available to fill that, whatever you're describing here, because it's a lot easier finding receivers, I think, than finding good defensive players in the middle of a season and acquiring them from teams.
Unless it's a pass rusher, and they're not going to bring in a pass rusher.
No,
they're paying guys trillions of dollars
to do
that.
So you'd look in the secondary, and the secondary definitely needs help. But who would be available? Maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick.
There are guys available, actually. Corners.
I'm not talking about corners. I'm talking about safeties right now.
There are some of those, too, on bad teams. You can go out and get a guy.
Yeah, but the question then is, the caller raised, is what would you give up to get him? Especially if it's
not
a good player.
Not a ton.
Well, then you're not going to get a
But you're probably
player.
Just going to get another guy like the many
Julius
they
Peppers.
Have. Chuck Clark. Julius Peppers. I wish you could get Julius
I
Peppers.
I love Julius Peppers.
They have Jabril Peppers, unfortunately. You know who else has been invisible the last couple games is the first-round pick, Derek Harmon. No quarterback hits. No tackles for loss.
What has Benton done, if you look at that number list, too? Because he wasn't...
He had a great game at Minnesota.
But since then, it's not been...
Against Minnesota, I should say. I don't know. I'll look that up in a second,
okay,
Bob.
But
maybe
my
we get
point
back
is
to
you haven't
phones.
Heard his name either.
No. And Green Bay started to run in the second half when they brought in their backup running back, added a little spice to their run game because Jacobs looked like he was running in mud, and then all of a sudden he outruns people. I get everybody confused in the secondary.
Eccles,
did he outrun Eccles? Did he outrun Clark? Did he outrun Ramsey? Did he outrun Slay? Just all of them on every play. Get outrun. None of them can cover anybody. That secondary stinks.
Yeah, it's
Porter.
And they're...
A sad goodbye to Brian Kelly. Yes, Bob?
Brian Kelly. How about the money that these guys... The best job in the world is to be a fired coach in college ranks. You can make all this money. If you want to, you could sit around his contract.
Oh, my God.
He could sit around until 2031, collect. He'd be like the Bobby Bonilla of college football coaches.
Wait till you hear what Doug Whaley, former NFL GM and a friend of the fan, in fact, a part of the fan here, said about Mike Tomlin last night on post game.
Oh, he was on postgame?
Yeah. Wait until you hear Brian Kelly's name came up in this, and we've got just the clips for that. Sunny today in a high of 60, Greg Warren. A low of 35, Manny Sanguian. Fan weather
brought
to
you. One of my favorites.
Mine too. One of the greatest bad ball hitters who ever lived, Bob.
You tried to throw it in the strike zone to get him out. A fat pitch, he wouldn't hit it. But if you threw it into dirt, one hop it, he'll hit it.
If you're going to throw the ball to Spencer Anderson, maybe they should sign Manny Sanguian and put him out there.
He and Rennie Stennett were the two best bad ball hitters I've ever seen.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Who's next, oh, limitless wonder?
Here is Michelle. She is in Florida.
Hi, Michelle. Are you with Ron Cook by any chance?
No, not today.
If so, you would be under intoxication at that point because you said about six or seven beers by now.
No. So I just want to start off by saying I love you guys. I think you're great. I listen almost every day.
Bless your
heart. Thank you. I have 3 points that I want to make, and then I'll hang up and see what you think. So I feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he has definitely exceeded all of our expectations, and I think he's doing really well. That's my first point. Number two, I don't think any veterans should have days off at this point, especially on the D. And I understand they're a little older. They can't go out and be on the field. But I'm sorry, Cam Hayward should be watching film, or he should be mentoring the younger players. He should be bonding. He's a captain. And that goes for everybody on the defense. Number three, here's my point. We listened to Mike Tomlin say the same thing in his press conferences and after the games. Well, we need to play harder. We need to do this, blah, 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 blah. I would like somebody from the media, and I know you guys have to tread very lightly with Coach Tomlin.
Tread very lightly with Coach Tomlin. He's been asked every difficult, tough, head-on question that can possibly be asked of a professional sports coach, but go ahead.
Well, then, Joe, you could ask him. You're the man.
Yeah,
so,
I've asked him many times about many things. What do you want to get asked?
When he gives his blah, blah answers, I want someone to say, well, Coach, we see the players make the same mistakes every week, and you always say we're going to do this or that. Coach Tomlin, can you please tell us what changes you are going to make, or what changes have you tried as far as being a coach? Because we see the same things every week.
Fair enough.
Here's the thing, though.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. You can ask these questions, but Mike Tomlin is savvy enough. He knows how to answer everyone at times without giving you the answer you want. And so that's the truth. A lot of head coaches are good with that. They're not going to give you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you we're going to go back to the, you know, back to the lab, try to figure it out. We'll try some different schemes, whatever the case. You can ask him all you want.
He has no answers at this point. As for the other stuff, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has exceeded expectations.
But it's only week eight.
But he needs more help. Did you see? I think it was Jeremy Fowler, don't quote me on that, who said the Steelers very interested in bringing him back next season, Bob. But you're right. This is only week eight.
And he looked at the end of the game as if he was slowing down to the point he knew that pass rush was coming. He felt Micah Parsons before he ever got to, you know, Parsons got to him. But he's not going to outrun a lot of those guys when he has to vacate the pocket. And you're going to see some pretty good defenses here in the next few weeks, too. Indy's a very good defense. We talk about their offense all along. So it's a long season. Those questions need to be asked after the season, after you get a full slate of what
I mean, it'll be great if they have a redemptive performance against the Colts on both sides of the ball.
And it might happen. I thought it would happen last night,
Bob,
actually.
That won't make me trust them one bit more. That's what they
are. Four games over 30 points allowed, and if it wasn't for Chris Boswell, where would they be? Because the Jets game wouldn't have been a win.
Let's ask that question in the next hour, because I have some Boswell numbers that'll blow your mind. But that's what they are. They're a 9-8 team. They're an above-average team that delivers some really good performances along the way, but also a ton of stinkers. And then they get blown out of the first round of the playoffs, and nobody takes them seriously as a Super Bowl contender. So they could come out next week and have a command performance. Okay, then they're 5-3, and then they go in and play the Chargers and get ransacked, and then they're 5-4 and right back to where they always are. This is where they always are. They're 4-3 with tons of questions, and really no future when it comes to legitimate contention. They're back to point A.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Do we know that by heart? Let's go from the top with the sound and the hitting of our hands. What is? How does he start out again, Limits? What does he say?
Starts out with, and we're sitting here again. Okay. Let's try.
Not until the second again do you get this.
Okay, on three, two, one.
And we're sitting here again.
We're sitting here again.
Talking about the same things. I blew it, Bob. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It's hard to get that exactly down.
I know.
But guess what? We'll not going to be sitting there anymore, and he's not going to be talking about the same things.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.